What I want to know is, what started all of this?
The Cholo. They delivered it to us.
Cholo? No one said anything about the Cholo.
All right. What does it mean?
It means they don't care. They're not afraid to die. Any of them. They want to rip us apart, no matter what it costs. It means to the death.
This is a preview of Now Playing's bonus review of Assault on Precinct 13.
Even though we're here, I want to do it right.
How could you possibly do it wrong?
Our spring 2018 donation drive is currently underway, and Arnie, Stuart, and Jacob are reviewing both versions of Assault on Precinct 13, as well as all four Purge films. You can hear these reviews by donating to Now Playing. It's your support that keeps Now Playing operating and putting out new shows without missing a single episode in over 7 years.
You want to be a hero your first night out, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir.
That's over 400 weeks with a new free show every single Tuesday. Find out details how to hear this full episode at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate. Donors of $10 or more will get this week's Assault on Precinct 13 podcast. Here's a preview of that show.
You think I'm scared? That's what it is, right? You think I'm scared?
This podcast preview contains harsh language and plot spoilers.
Try anything. Anything. I've got two guards with shotguns and I'll blow you apart.
Listener discretion is advised.
Nobody gonna wish me luck.
Good luck.
Look at that. Two cops wishing me luck. I'm doomed.
Did either of you notice it's been 45 minutes before we get to what I would call the inciting incident?
Oh, yeah. No, it takes a time.
And yet, I was surprised how fast I felt it moved. I did actually pause the movie at a couple points to look at the timer. And because of the opening shootout, that I agree, Carpenter needed that to make it feel like action. Because of the little girl and the way we're intercutting these three stories and even having a little bit of action. Plus, the two characters are really charismatic. Both Bishop and Napoleon are just captivating me when they're on screen. It didn't feel long to me, yet it's an entire half of the movie. And Carpenter even admitted, yeah, I didn't have a lot of shots, so I had to make them long. I had to just draw this out. The reason the opening credits, we get to hear that whole song, he needed to pad the film. You know, it's the Jonah Hex rule of 10-minute credits.
Not only that, but Hawks is known for a deliberate pace as well. Rio Bravo is 2 hours and 20 minutes, and it's based on a very short story. A lot of it is about just spending time with the characters, and you've got to like them. It's got to be about the bravado and the charm that forms between all of these tough guys, these unlikely allies, as it were. So I do think that, yes, the slow build has helped us have a lot of curiosity about how these folks are going to deal with an ambush, because I figured, you know, if it's called on Assault on Precinct 13, I think the audience suspects everything is going to descend on this police station at some point. And that point, it comes a little late in the movie for me, but yeah, we're ready for it when it finally is here.
What's really funny for me is how fast the movie goes at that point. The second time I paused was because I felt like the assault had just begun, and I'm like, damn, there's only 20 minutes left of the film.
Oh, there's one point where I do feel a definite lag when they're shooting out the windows, and if you look at the score, there is a title, Shooting the Windows. Like, it gets its own song. It goes on so long.
I definitely was going to point out, like, we didn't need to see every window broken. I mean, they really...
I think we see every window broken three times.
Yeah, I agree. There are more window shots than actual windows on the precinct. But we got to get action. And, you know, for the limitations, I do think, again, maybe a lot of this is the suspense of the story itself. But yeah, we're in the grips. I love a good home invasion story. That's kind of where I'm putting all of this. I know it's not a home, but you get my point. It's like the Alamo in a Wild West setting. You know, the Indians are coming, or Night of the Living Dead. We're trapped in this house and all the dead people in the world are coming. There's just something about those stakes that get me every time. I'm always hooked when that's the situation confronting characters. characters.
It is something very easy to relate to, is being someplace you consider safe, be it your home or a police station, and yet still being completely violated and in danger there. And it's the same fear that Carpenter would revisit with Halloween. I mean, here we have a faceless gang that's going to keep coming and coming. And in his next movie, we're going to have a faceless shape that's going to keep coming and coming. And I feel Halloween has the same kind of slow pacing at the beginning, when we're spending all that time with the teenagers and Donald Pleasance before Michael grabs his first knife too.
Yeah, I think you've tapped into something really key here. As I'm thinking about the Carpenter films we've covered, he's not really interested in the villains. Just in general, they tend to be a blank. Yeah, the shape. I mean, you can't get more generic than that. We love Michael Myers, but really his personality didn't form until the sequels. For much of his movies, he staged this kind of thing before. I also think Prince of Darkness kind of works in much of the same dynamics. And why I like that movie, even though it's maybe not very good, is that, yeah, it's all about the characters trapped inside, how they're getting along with one another. Also true of Living Dead.
If you'd like to hear this entire episode, it's available to listeners who donate by August 31st, 2018. This series is available along with retrospectives on The Godfather, Jurassic World, Jaws, Deep Blue Sea, the Al Pacino Cops and Al Pacino Mobsters series, plus The Purge and Assault on Precinct 13. The more you donate, the more bonus podcasts you get to hear.
Jesus, come on. Come on, I'll give you my money. Just don't hurt me, please. Please.
If you enjoy the show we do week after week, help keep us on the air. You can find a link to pledge by clicking the banner at the top of our website, nowplayingpodcast.com, or go to nowplayingpodcast.com/donate.
What the hell is this? Fun and games? Does anybody work around here anymore?
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
That's not the truth, Warden. Now, you should always tell the truth. Even a little white lie sometimes trip a man up.
All audio clips and music used are the property of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. This podcast has not been prepared, approved, or licensed by any entity that created or produced the film analyzed herein.
Seward says the policeman's always there to answer questions and to help you when you're in trouble.
Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of Venganza Media Incorporated and may not be used without the expressed written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.
I didn't do anything wrong. A board of inquiry cleared me.
That's right. You didn't do anything wrong.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2018, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
So it's about that time, huh? Looks that way, don't it? Well, thanks. For what? You didn't call my name.
That was self-preservation, Sergeant. And it worked. I told you I'm not gonna change. Try to follow me. You'll find out just how true that is.
You're not gonna get very far.
I'll manage. Yeah. You take care of yourself, Sergeant.
I will find you. No other cop. Just me.